Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Trinity 8, Matthew chapter 14, the feeding of the 5,000. It's evening, and looking out upon and surveying the vast crowd that had gathered around them, the disciples come to Jesus after a day's teaching and advise him to send away this crowd so they may get their own vesper pot from the surrounding villages. That's Matthew's version. It's also Mark's and Luke's. But John, in his gospel, has Jesus taking the initiative and putting Philip to the test. Where can we buy bread to feed this number? He said this to test him, knowing full well what he intended to do. And if you read that version, you will hear a mighty fumbling stutter from Philip. What all the four Gospels share in this story is a glimpse into the minds of these disciples. What contribution can I make to God's kingdom? What difference can anything I do possibly make to people's lives? Now, all sorts of people ask themselves such questions. Though family, friends, colleagues, neighbours who do not share our faith would ask the question in a different way to the way the disciples did, they nevertheless do. What difference will what I can do make? And the subtext there is almost, why bother? And in these days, when the needs are so overwhelming and we barely feel able to address our own needs, these questions stand out starkly. It's natural enough to think and feel that way, for we are finite human beings, only able to do so much, give so much. No matter how committed we are, no matter how genuine and deep our compassion runs, it would be most unfair to accuse these disciples, or indeed ourselves, of apathy, though disillusionment perhaps. But there is here in this story a double dynamic for us to explore and help us onwards. And both these dynamics are rooted in the love of Christ. The first dynamic is the sheer power of that love as translated into action, which makes a real and felt difference. We saw in the last chapter of Matthew, over the last 3 weeks, just exactly such reminders. Look at the life-giving power of the seed. Look at the resilience of the wheat, which grows despite the presence of the weeds. Look at the transformative power of yeast. And so it went on in that chapter. And here Matthew picks up that same theme. Look at what God's love can do. And so in this astonishing incident, we witness in action the God who takes what seems to be a little and turns it into something great. The God who is able to take an apparently wholly inadequate response and use it in a way that defies all human understanding. So again, that invitation to look and see differently that we had in chapter 13. Don't look at the size of the crowd. Don't focus on the size of the challenge, the size of the problem. Because if you do, you'll be overwhelmed and reduced to helplessness. Don't look at the smallness of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, which could very reasonably be seen as able to achieve nothing. And yet that little was offered rather than being withheld in the helplessness we so often feel and share. So once again, the invitation, lift your eyes, lift your hearts and see where is the kingdom of heaven present among us. So the first dynamic, to recognize the power of God's compassionate love, how very much can be done with very, very little. The second dynamic is what happens in us and to us. Because here in this story, not only are the people fed, there is much more going on. We, alongside the disciples, withhold money and time and gifts and energy, not for reasons that we cannot articulate, but because we feel like they will not make a difference. And in so doing, we, like the disciples, leave God out of the equation. Now, if I was a YouTube preacher, I would draw your attention to a whiteboard and draw, first of all, a line. One point of the line would be the vast need in whatever context your imagination chooses just now. The other end of the line, the point there, would be our equivalent of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. I'm very busy. I've only got this much time. I don't earn a lot and I've got a large family. I can't spare much. You fill it in for yourselves. The vast need at one end, the limited resources at the other end of this line. To give or not to give? Will it make a difference? What's the point? Will I get laughed at or even shouted at for attention seeking by giving my very little? So here, on my whiteboard, there is a flat line going nowhere and doing nothing. It's intention. The need pulls against finite resources. The great and vast need, intention with our limited resources, material and also in terms of our faith. And then we come to this story. And the story invites us to put a third point on this whiteboard. And suddenly, we have not a line, intention, but we have a triangle. This third point, the power of God's compassionate love, and how very, very much can be done with very, very little. We no longer have a line, we have a triangle. And the triangle gives us a space. And in that space, miracles happen. And doubt remembers faith. So in this story of the feeding of the 5,000, there were 2 miracles that day. The people are fed. That's the miracle we all see and know and love. very, very little achieves very, very much by the power of God's love. But there is this other miracle too. The disciples have had a geometry lesson to help them create and picture how and where miracles can happen. So once again, like we had in chapter 13, the invitation and the challenge, lift your eyes, lift your hearts, and see where is the kingdom of heaven present among us. See the kingdom, recognize the kingdom, pray for it, work for it, wait for it, and give thanks for it. Amen.